Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
The biggest thing, I think, Kim, from year one to year two is you have to watch guys who've had a lot of success. Right, guys, you can't fall into a trap of that you've made it, right? Just because you have success in year one, that doesn't garner that you're going to instantly have success in year two. Right? You still have to put in even more work, right? Because now, oh, you have a year worth of tendencies on tape. Other teams around the league are watching you. They're kind of honing in on what you do well. So how are you going to attack your offseason and truly focus on improving your craft and being better than you were in year one? Guys can't, you know, you can't fall asleep to, oh, I did it one year, it's easy, and you relax your second year. That's the biggest thing I've seen where guys kind of have that drop in their second year is where they relax and they think they have that I made it moment. Nobody's ever made it. You continue to put the work in, you dive in even harder because you've had success.
That's D'Amico Ryans on Monday talking to the media, guarding against complacency in year two. I don't have major concerns that this team is going to rest on laurels or feel full of itself. I think that from coach to the leaders on the team, I think this is a team wired to handle the success they had last year.
Yeah, and there's fine. there's no shortage of cautionary tales going right to the Jacksonville Jaguars last year.
Bingo.
Where, man, everybody was all super excited about how simple and easy and straightforward it was going to be. The Jags had figured it out, and Trevor Lawrence was the real deal, and it was just an easy march into the playoffs. And they ended up sucking.
Yep.
Yeah. Turns out Trevor Lawrence can't play injured.
Yeah, right. He was banged
up. I swear, I've never heard so many excuses for an NFL quarterback. They're all injured. All of them. CJ had a separated shoulder the entire damn year. But like with Trevor Lawrence, all of a sudden it's like, well, he had four different injuries. Yeah, and he played.
Right.
If he's playing, he needs to be good.
Right.
Okay.
I think that's I totally agree with what you're saying. I think you hit
you're
on
damn
it.
Damn right
I,
you do, Sean.
I think it's the if you know what's good for you. I think it's the multitude. I think it's a combination of the multitude, and I think there's a lot of people that are probably trying to talk Trevor Lawrence generational quarterback into existence still. You know, it's
yeah.
I think there's but I yeah, if you're out on the field, you're judged by what you put out there for sure. So this dawned on me yesterday as I was doing my podcast and doing the solo part of it by myself and just kind of going back through some of the takeaways from Monday with D'Amico and with Will and with CJ in those press conferences. And it dawned on me in the middle of talking about D'Amico takeaways, there was not a single, and I view this as a sign of progress. There was not a single direct question to D'Amico Ryans 10 days before the draft about the draft. And
that's
what are you going to do in the draft? What are you going to do in the
yeah.
second round? Who are you going to take?
Yeah.
Who are you looking at? What position? Nothing. Nothing.
And it's obvious they don't have a first round pick. And as soon as you start asking questions about the draft outside the first round, especially, it turns into a big exercise in, do you guys take best player available? And then the team says, of course we take best player available. And then they go into, they draft for need. And it's just, and on we go. I think that, the first round is where it's at when it comes to the big ticket items that make the news with the draft. It's a whole lot of, what are you're going to ask? How about we do this? Do you want to go down? I'll give you a one sentence answer to every question that was asked. If it was answered the way that would appease us, Or, like, it would feel like D'Amico gave an answer that was, like, straightforward or juicy or giving up a tidbit.
Okay,
or something.
So am I? What am I doing here? Am I asking
you? So, like, ask me about, like, the first question was, how do I feel about the current roster?
Oh, okay, okay, yeah.
D'Amico.
So, D'Amico, how do you feel about the current roster?
And I say I'll answer all these in one sentence.
Okay.
It's aight. We've got...
It's one sentence. You're cut off. It's aight.
Oh, okay. It's aight, comma... As you can see, the defensive tackles position is a mess, and we kind of botched a trade, so we had to scramble. And no, it's not ideal, okay? So we feel really good about some parts, but there's still some holes that we got to fill. Frankly, I don't know exactly what we're going to get out of Jalen Petrie this year. This is all a comma. One big run-on. Okay.
You were doing good with a run-on sentence there for a while.
Yeah.
So, and...
D'Amico would never ramble on to the extent that I can.
No, D'Amico's the perfect soundbite for a coach. His cuts are all between 20 and 35 seconds to a T. He's the best.
Next question, Juno.
What can Stephon Diggs add to this roster?
Bling. Lots of bling. You know, you used to see back when he used to put his chains on Kirk Cousins and everything. I feel like CJ can use a little bit of that.
Okay.
If I were to answer it just 100% and completely honestly, like frankly, it's not Stephon Diggs alone. It's the combination of Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, and Nico Collins.
There you go.
And and Tank Dell is the truth.
Always looking to add playmakers. There were like 18 questions. I'm not going
to
ask
all of them.
Yeah. I think the closest thing, like I not asking about the draft. I do think you're right. You're right about the first round thing. For sure, you're right about the first round thing. I was just surprised in going back. I didn't feel it in the moment, but in going back, I'm like, I am a little surprised he wasn't asked, like, what do you think of this crop of defensive linemen coming out?
He was about specific players. He was asked about what he's looking for in defensive tackles.
Right.
And he said explosiveness, which... Honestly, and then the most meaningful thing he said when it came to the draft itself, I think, was he said that we're looking for explosive players, and then he gave a weight range of saying, I've seen anybody from 285 to 315,
yeah.
Maybe he said 325. I do think that is the range he's looking at. I think that a T'Vondre Sweat probably doesn't appeal to him as much as I've tried to shoehorn that in. And it's the tough thing is the guys who weigh 315 and are super explosive – tend to go in the top five picks of the draft.
Yeah.
Those guys aren't there this year. So there's a lot of the 295. There's a lot of guys that are listed at 302 because they drank a lot of water at the combine, but they're actually 295.
Yeah.
So that it is where it gets interesting. There's a pretty big pool that they can pull from. I thought one of the more relevant questions, and I want to say it was DJ Bieniemy that asked this, was when he asked D'Amico just, all right, how do you reconcile Stephon Diggs' drop-off in production over the last third of last year versus what you're hoping to get out of him.
Yeah.
And D'Amico basically said, like, if you watch film, you know, we don't believe there was a drop off. And
right.
I agree with that. I think Stephon Diggs, and from talking to people in Buffalo, there was a shift in how they were operating on offense, but it's not like Stephon Diggs all of a sudden was different physically or wasn't winning downfield or anything. They ran a different offense from the Denver game on.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you see Landry tweeted? I know you saw this.
Yeah.
I'm very anxious for In the Loop today. This is a tease for In the Loop. This is Landry Locker tweeted this last night.
I transcribed this, so sorry. I know that my typing was kind of hurried.
That's okay.
This is what Landry tweeted out last night.
Yeah.
He said, okay, Brandon Scott just put the following on the show prep doc. OJ Simpson's death got me thinking about Damian Pierce. I can explain. And then Landry says, where in the heck is this going?
I feel the same. Feel the same.
Damian, O.J. Simpson's death got me thinking about Damian Pierce.
Okay. How do you connect the two? If you want to text in, how is Brandon Scott connecting the death of O.J. Simpson to
it's
Damian
be something
Pierce?
To do with altered perceptions of a running back.
Yeah, it's got to be. Right? There's got to be a running back element to this. Yeah,
yeah. Like O.J.'s reputation took kind of a hit.
Yeah.
Midway through his life, you guys can Google it if you don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
His reputation as a running back never changed.
No.
His ability to run in the snow was good throughout his entire career. I don't know. I don't know.
Here's my guess, and I'm guessing I'll be wrong, but this is the best I can come up with. O.J. Simpson became more known for something else other than being a good running back later on in his life. Damian Pierce was once known as a good running back. It wasn't for as long as O.J. Simpson, nor for the yardage of O.J. Simpson, but there was a period of time. Maybe it's that in this next phase, Damian Pierce becomes known for something else. Not necessarily killing two people like O.J., but maybe like returning kicks. You know, maybe in this new kickoff return age that we're in, a running back maybe fits even better in this.
This is the only thing that I get nervous about is when I watch these newfangled kickoffs in the United Football League or what have you.
I know what you're going to say, yeah.
It looks a lot like a zone running scheme.
It sure does.
After Damian Pierce had this brief and glorious moment where he had a kickoff return, and in the post-game show, he told one Sean T. Pendergast and Clint, middle initial unknown, Sterner, that the kickoff return is kind of like the run schemes that he knows and loves, where it's like, oh, okay, here's the blocking, there's the hole, this is what I'm going to hit. And then what do they do in the offseason? Boom! It's like when the Bears, you remember when the Bears got all upset that they changed the kickoff return rules and everything because they had an all-pro kickoff returner.
Hall of Fame, he's going in this year, yeah.
Paid on the roster, yeah. Yeah, so I think that Damian Pierce kind of got screwed over by the rules change.
Wow. Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so.
That's a good point, Brandon Scott.
Yeah.
If that is indeed your if that is your point. If not, then it's stupid.
We'll see. How about
Brandon
this?
K. Scott.
Dude, I'm looking at I don't know that other teams do this. I'm looking, and I know the Texans didn't do this last year. The Commanders are picking second like the Texans were last year, and I'm looking at our TV in the studio. The Commanders are hosting Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, and Michael Penix all on the same day.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm fascinated by this.
Yes.
If they're trying to run some social experiment here to see how
like
they all interact
dish.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like see if there's going to be a fight.
Right.
What if they stick them in a room with a closed circuit TV and like they just steadily start increasing the heat. Just to see who, you know what I'm envisioning, Sean?
Yeah.
The right stuff. The book and the movie about the space program early in the days.
Yeah.
And like, they didn't know, like, they started this astronaut program and they didn't know what the hell astronauts really needed to do or like how much, like what they needed to be trained for. So they just started the screening process is let's treat them like crap as much as possible and see which ones wilt or can't handle it or what have you. I feel like they're going to do that. They're going to put them in a big old centrifuge or something, you know, see which one of these guys can hack being a Washington Commander.
Dude, I'm looking up at the screen, I see these four names, and it says, you know, such visiting. I'm like, oh, probably over the next 4 days. No, visiting today. They're all visiting in one day. It's crazy. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you here on a Wednesday. All right, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have largely dominated the last two decades. Are people trying to pour cold water and phase the two of them out of the game altogether? That is next.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.